This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Good Friday to you. It wasn't a must-win game last night for either team, but it's about as close as you could get. Both teams at 6-4 between Houston and Indianapolis, and you're fighting for a divisional lead. The Tennessee Titans are behind you at 5-5. No, it wasn't must-win. You can recover from this if you're Indianapolis because, again, the ebb and flow of the NFL always exists and is always a possibility. But it did feel, it had a feeling of, yeah, I really wouldn't want to lose this game if I was either one of these teams. And Deshaun Watson throws two touchdown passes. DeAndre Hopkins gets both of them, including a really good catch towards the end. But Indianapolis is going to look back and go, look, T.Y. Hilton was hurt. He's our main threat. We don't really have a big offensive weapon that we can throw to. We ran the ball a lot. Jonathan Williams hit over 100 yards, but were we too conservative? Especially were we too conservative at the end? Now, like I said earlier, you can recover from this if you're the Colts, but this is the kind of game in a divisional situation when you're fighting for the lead, you don't want to lose. And it goes back to what we were saying all week, which is don't get into the swimming pool of the AFC wildcard race if you can help it. There's too many variables. There's too many teams. There's too many games. If you drop one, you lose one, you pick up one, lose one, et cetera, and you get into that where, you know, the Buffalo Bills, if they keep winning, they're going to take one, and then everybody else is fighting for scraps. And if you do, you just don't want to do that. But Frank Reich, I thought, was a little too conservative towards the end of that game. He didn't call timeout at the wrong time. Play went down. But there was also that fumble that Deshaun Watson had that people now are starting to scream about, should have been reviewed. Because you know what I've realized? And this is big picture stuff. I feel like we can't get through an NFL game without some sort of controversy about something that didn't get reviewed or something that was reviewed and not overturned or something that was reviewed and was overturned. I mean, it just feels like we're doing this every game. And in that case, if I'm Indianapolis, I really do wish the NFL had taken a look at that Deshaun Watson strip. Nevertheless, Texans win. They go to 7-4. We'll talk more about that game and the implications for that coming up next, as well as stuff on Sunday, including the Cowboys and the Patriots and some other big games coming up. We'll look into that. Also, the Myles Garrett situation, all coming up this hour, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, you asked for it. Okay, none of you asked for it, but we're doing it anyway. These are Grammy-nominated songs and artists today. That's the music we're playing. This is Lizzo. The only reason I know this is Lizzo, and I'm not one of those guys that just goes, all the music's... No, the only reason I know is because ESPN did a feature on this song because she includes a line in it about the Minnesota Vikings. And Chris Connolly did a whole bit on it. And I remember watching it, and I asked my kids, I said, is Lizzo a big deal? And they're like, yeah, she's a big deal. I'm like, oh, okay. Then forget it. See, I had thought, this is so stupid, I had thought ESPN was propping up one of their young artists, like they do with, you know, because they're connected with Disney and all that.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, please tell me this isn't like some no name that's got a song. No, and my kids were like, no, Dad, she's really a big deal. I'm like, oh, okay.
I had
conspiracy
no clue.
Theory averted. So
this was fun for me because I'm looking over the list of nominees and I'm trying to just keep it to like record of the year, song of the year. You know, obviously, like, you know, the best songs of the past year. I had never even heard of this person.
I know.
I just felt, am I that out of the loop now?
And I got to stop being that guy. I don't want to be that guy. I want to enjoy whatever's current, whatever's in.
It's not. Yeah, you know, me too.
When I sit and watch movies, I want to watch current movies. I don't go, I'm going to watch my 80s flicks.
Different, though.
I want to watch movies. I want to watch the TV shows. I don't want to be old. Music tastes, I understand. There's people have different music tastes.
But, what TV show was it? Was it, maybe it was Real World, where they started experimenting with, where they would always have an artist, and then they would show at the end of the episode, like, who the artist was?
Real World?
Yeah, did Real World do that? I don't know. There was for a while, like during the 90s, there was a couple TV shows that would do that. They'd play, I know one of them was Charmed.
Oh, okay.
You know, the show about the three sisters who were witches. At the end of the show, they would just show, you know, this song is a new artist, and here's the song that was featured.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of neat. That's I feel like with all this music. It's like,
right, I worked at a radio station in Denver. We called it Colorado's Underground Voice, and it was all independent bands from local, it was Colorado, but I think they also dipped into New Mexico and Utah.
You'd have to, right? Like
it was a popular.
Run out of bands?
It had a little cult following. Yeah, but it had a little cult following. It was a little AM station. I couldn't believe how many people kind of are into that. Like they're into that new music, new bands, independent bands, that kind of thing. So it was kind of neat. It was kind of a fun little AM station in the corner of our cluster. And it was neat, and I always was respectful of that. I didn't know any of the bands, but sometimes they would come in and perform, and that was kind of cool.
See, I can say that I was that way with one band that made it big.
Which is?
I mean, living in L.A., you know, we'd go to the clubs all the time.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, the Roxy, the Whiskey, so we'd see these bands play, and there was one band that I kind of liked that I kind of gravitated towards. I'm like, oh, you know what? I really like the music, and they actually went mainstream for a little bit, and that was Sublime.
Oh, nice. For me, it was Hootie and the Blowfish.
Of course.
When I was in South Carolina, Hootie and the Blowfish were just a local bar band. And then next thing you know, a couple years later, I was like, oh, they're big. Yeah. Oh, wow. I remember sneaking into a place. A friend of mine snuck me into a bar to see them. I was too young to be there, but nobody checked. But my friend goes, you want to go see Hootie? And I go, I don't think I can get in there. He goes, nah, I'll get in there.
Do they still do like bootleg? They don't even do bootleg records anymore, right? Like bands? I'm just saying bands in general?
Yeah.
Because I remember I had a bootleg cassette tape of No Doubt.
Oh, that's cool. That's nice. Yeah.
And it was like, I think I still have it. And I'm like, yeah, I don't even have means to play this anymore.
So this is the Grammy show today.
This is the Grammys.
Mixing the sports of the weekend into the Grammys. So that's we'll at least attempt to try to do that as much as we know about the Grammys coming up. All right, so the Texans got an early jump on the AFC South race.
Uh-oh.
Last night. That wasn't a fun game to watch. That wasn't really well played.
No. No.
I hate to admit this because I don't like using this word when it comes to sports. I kind of found it boring.
I did too.
It was close. It was a close game, but it was kind of boring. And because it just.
And almost predictable at times.
Almost predictable is right. And here's why I found it boring. The Colts offense was dull. Like, I know T.Y. Hilton was hurt, but it was so boring. They just ran.
Well, obviously,
they don't have
any other wide receivers
that
team.
Yeah, apparently nobody else can catch the football.
You know, they could probably use an Antonio Brown.
Right, maybe so. Eric Ebron, no, they can't throw to him. I mean, it was just Frank Reich. I mean, look, it was surprising because the Texans secondary, you can get on this Texans secondary a bit. You can torch them a touch, but they didn't have the weapons to torch anybody.
The Texans secondary is thankful for the Texans offensive line,
yeah,
because they get all the bad publicity. So the Texans secondary is just kind of stays in the background. Like, yeah, we suck too, but nobody's talking about us.
Like even at the end of the game in the fourth quarter, and this has kind of was pointed out by a number of people on Twitter, there was no urgency in the Colts, and it was a 3-point game. Like the Colts were just kind of like, we're going to run the ball, just see what happens. And I'm like, yeah, tick, 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 get moving. Like, what are you doing? It's 4th and 7. What are you doing? Now you have to throw the ball and you can't throw the ball.
Nope, just run it.
Just keep running.
Just keep running.
And all Deshaun Watson had to do was throw 2 touchdowns to DeAndre Hopkins, and that was pretty much it. Kick a couple of field goals, and you're done.
But didn't you get the feeling he was having trouble moving the ball, except for two big passing plays.
Yeah, this was not a well-played game by both teams.
No, I mean, he threw that 50-yard, I think it was in the third quarter. It was almost like a prayer throw.
Yeah, right. Right.
But they still, I think they only got a field goal out of it.
They got a field goal out of it.
Because they just could not move the ball.
That's it. That was it. And so Like I said at the top of the hour, is it a must-win game? No, not really. We'll see the ebb and flow of this. But it was very important. It's a very important game.
Yeah, it kind of sets up the AFC South.
Right. It does set up the AFC South.
You want to win against a division opponent, and you want to try to distance yourself. This is the point of the year where you want to distance yourself from the rest of the pack.
Right.
And, you know, this is a one-game separation now.
Because the teams have now played twice. They both split the games. So now you got to go into the divisional records. And if you should end up tying, right now, Houston has, you know, takes that edge. They do have tougher game, a couple of tough games on the schedule. Patriots at Titans, I think, could be a really tough game for them. I think they play Tennessee again at home. But, you know, look, you get the edge. You get the edge in this last push towards the postseason. So again, the Colts can recover. But by the way, and this is the other thing. I'm watching the game last night, and here's what hits me. I'm watching the Colts, and I keep going, all right, this is an important game. You know, and then I realize this is an organization that just found out its star quarterback retired like a week before the season started.
Yeah, that's
like true. A week and a half before the season started. Like, they just found out. They went into the whole offseason, right, all the little OTAs, mini camps, whatever, thinking, all right, Andrew Luck. And then right before the season, what was it? I think it was a week and a half.
Yeah.
It was a week and a half, maybe two. He announced, he goes, I'm done. And the fact that I'm watching this team in late November in this sort of as close as you can get to a must-win without being a must-win game, I think it's impressive. I think it's an impressive decision. But it just was rather dull. It was kind of a dull game. But the Texans, despite being embarrassed against Baltimore, that's a nice bounce back. You come back at home, you win a divisional game, you can put the Baltimore Raven fiasco in the rearview mirror. Yep, you still have some things to work on. Yep, you still aren't sharp. You're going to need to be looking better when you host the Patriots coming up next weekend. But you got the win. And right now, the most important thing is get to the playoffs, whatever which way you can. And leading the AFC South is a good way to make the playoffs, right, at this point and this of the season. But it wasn't, I don't know. I didn't know what to expect. Let's be honest. Do we really expect fireworks between Jacoby Brissett and the Colts when they play? Like, Deshaun Watson, I could see throw like four touchdowns and have a good game. But the Colts have never been that. The Colts have never been that this year. You know, they run the ball. They do pretty good at that. They're not an explosive offensive football team. So I didn't know what I was really expecting, but I don't know. It wasn't the most thrilling game despite the score. And at the end, I was kind of curious how it was going to play out. I do think that Frank Reich is going to question some of his late decisions on taking a timeout when the clock had already stopped and letting the clock run down to the 2-minute warning and calling running plays when the Texans were clearly defending the run, like not even audibling out of that situation with one safety in the back. I mean, all of those things that were on the line late in the game could have made a run, but now the Colts have lost three of their last four and the Texans have now won three of their last four. All right. So that was Thursday night game. Some of the games that are coming up this weekend, we're going to get to later, but coming up next, the Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph situation now has an interesting twist, and a twist that has everybody kind of torn. That's next, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
By the way, we just did this bit about how we don't know any of these songs, and I know this song too.
You do? All right.
This is Billie Eilish.
Yes, it is.
And the reason I know this song is because it was in the closing credits of a movie called Brightburn that I rented.
Okay.
And Brightburn was it wasn't a great movie. I didn't really enjoy the movie per se. I enjoyed the concept of the movie. I thought it could have been done better. You know how Superman came to Earth and had superpowers and he was good? The movie was, what if a kid landed in a spaceship and was raised on a farm and he was evil? And he had superpowers. And he just was interested in destroying everything and killing people. That was the basis of the movie. And this was at the end. But my daughter just became a teenager. She wanted to see this. She wanted to see Billie Eilish concert. And then I looked her up and one of the titles of her songs or albums is All Good Girls Go to Hell. And I said, I don't think we're going to go see her in concert. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that means. I don't think you should go.
But Dad, that's our motto. That's,
yeah, right. I was like, I don't. I'm trying to, you know.
Dad, that's my mantra.
But I know who this is. So the first two songs out of the gate,
all right.
We just said we don't pay attention to music, and we know both of these songs.
All right. Well, then I will try to trip you up. All I've right. never, be honest, I've heard of Billie Eilish, never heard of this song. Started listening to it, and I was like, you know what? I'm grooving to this.
Yeah,
beat.
It's a good song. I only know it because of the movie. I heard it in the movie, and then I've
weird
heard it on the radio.
Video.
You know, whatever.
Weird,
but yeah,
weird video.
Exactly. Hey, trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Their professionals know what it takes to get the job done right. Professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Come see for yourself. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, so this next story, the Myles Garrett situation, this has got a very, very interesting twist now.
Doesn't it, first of all, just real quick,
yep.
The title of the song was Bad Guy.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. So,
oh, okay.
I mean, it's kind of appropriate.
It fit the movie.
Because I don't know which, we have a bad guy on our hands.
Yeah, that's very true. So either someone is in this situation.
Yeah.
I don't know who. But Myles Garrett, in his appeal, has now said that he heard Mason Rudolph use a racial slur at him in their scrum at the end of Thursday night's game. Now, Mason Rudolph and the Pittsburgh Steelers are denying this. Mason Rudolph's attorney is denying this. And the team as a whole are standing by their quarterback. What's interesting to me is this. Listen, if you have a racial slur thrown at you in an insulting way, I can't tell you how to react to that. And nobody should tell you how to react to
right.
that. You can be angry. You can be violently angry. You could hold it in. You don't have to tell anybody. You could tell the world. It's not up to me to tell you what the appropriate way for you to respond to that if you are of a group that has a racial slur directed at them. So you have to kind of be careful of the criticism in Myles Garrett here, who waited until the appeal to bring this up to anybody, right? He did not say anything on Thursday in the press Thursday night. He didn't say anything to anybody in the days leading up to his appeal. He didn't say anything to the teammates that may not have been around or know anything about it, even though his teammates are saying, well, I don't think he would lie about it, but none of them can corroborate any sort of statement that was made. Baker Mayfield said he was shocked when he heard this. So nobody on the Browns is saying, oh, I heard that too, or he said it to me in the locker room immediately after. What Garrett did was, he waited for the appeal. He mentioned it in the appeal. He was hoping it wouldn't become public because he was just in the privacy of the appeals hearing. It did get public. And now what did Garrett do the moment it became public? He went right back to the fact that regardless of what was said, and I know what I heard, I still should not have taken that action against Mason Rudolph. But it does leave the cloud of suspicion in terms of, did Mason Rudolph actually say this or not? And it's a big thing to say about somebody to say that they used a racial slur. That plagues you for the rest of your career. That plagues you forever. And in this society, we even don't even care about the truth. We'll just label you no matter what, depending on what side we want to believe. So none of us know what was said. None of us know if Mason Rudolph is guilty or innocent. We don't know if Myles Garrett is either. I wouldn't even want to use lying. He may have misheard something, or he may believe it, and even though it didn't happen, whatever that may be, we don't know the truth because none of us were there and there's no audio of there. It just leaves the cloud hanging. And that's the problem with this. But I would be very careful if you're absolutely supporting Mason Rudolph, I'd be very careful to say, well, Myles Garrett should have done X, Y, and Z with that information. Because we shouldn't be telling Myles Garrett to do anything with that information. He can do it the way he wants, based on his personality or the based on the way he feels. But that doesn't mean we can't sort of go, well, I don't know if that's a believable thing to me. If nobody on your team, you told nobody on your team that this is why you did that. So here it is Thursday night, all hell is breaking loose on the field. Everyone's going to the locker room. This is a win, but it doesn't feel like a win because this is all everybody's talking about. People are wondering what's happening. Baker Mayfield's going on TV saying how disappointed he is because they need you in the stretch run. You're still alive for the playoff race. There's very winnable games on your schedule. They need you. You're the best defensive player. All of these players are feeling hurt by this in terms of how could this have escalated so quickly? This hurts our team, et cetera, et cetera. And not one point does Myles Garrett say to anybody on that in the night in the locker room that racial slur was used. And even though he shouldn't have done it, at least there might be an understanding with his teammates. Instead, that none of the teammates can say they heard it. And none of the teammates knew about it until some of the teammates didn't know about it until it just went public yesterday. That's what happened. And nobody is even saying, yeah, privately he told me, and, you know, he told a couple of us afterwards or in the locker room afterwards. If that happened, no one is saying that. No one is saying that. So there becomes for Mason Rudolph this cloud of racism that's hovering over him. Now, the Steelers, because they're supporting their guy, are all saying that Mason's not that kind of individual, that they are blown away by this, that the thing that Myles Garrett is using, as Cam Hayward said, his words, not mine, a Hail Mary in his appeal process. And they are supporting their quarterback. Now, I'll be honest with you. And listen, I have to pull myself away as a Steeler fan, but if Mason Rudolph went right to Cam Hayward and said, I did not use this. I did not say this. And a lot of his teammates who were in the scrum, near the scrum, did not hear this. Now, would they say that about their quarterback? Well, it depends. I mean, if you're an African-American player and you hear your quarterback say that, wouldn't that trump him saying something like that to another player, trump your loyalty to your teammate? Wouldn't you say, look, there's a line here and my teammate crossed it. My teammate crossed it. I heard him, and as I got close to that, I heard him say that, and that's uncalled for. I don't care if he's wearing my uniform or not. But none of the Steelers within the around could make the NFL did an investigation. They can't corroborate Myles Garrett's story. And Myles Garrett didn't win his appeal. He's going to be suspended indefinitely. He's out for the entire season, including playoffs. And in order to get back in 2020, he has to go to the commissioner for a reinstatement. So was it a Hail Mary? Well, I don't know. I don't know. Because I do believe you can hear what you hear. And even if it's not quite what you think you heard, in the heat of the moment, you might have heard what you heard, even if it's not true. So I don't think this was a made-up thing by Myles Garrett. It just might not be accurate what he heard. But the Steelers are supporting their guy, and the Browns are supporting their guy, even though the Browns are basically saying, instead of the Browns saying, yeah, I believe him, I heard it too, or I believe him because that's exactly the story he told us immediately, they're just saying, we don't think he would lie about this. Yeah, but the Steelers are basically saying the same thing. They're saying Mason Rudolph wouldn't lie about this. He told me he didn't say it. He wouldn't lie. The Browns believe Garrett wouldn't lie. And we're, as a public, we're at stage zero because there's nothing here.
Well, I mean, somebody's lying.
Somebody's not telling the truth.
It seems just bizarre that even in today's age, nothing like this leaked out. That Myles Garrett was tight-lipped about it all the way until presented with, hey, you know, we're going to uphold your suspension. Oh, well, let me bring in this little nugget.
Yeah, exactly. And again, I want to reiterate this because I really thought about this last night. And I don't want to be the guy that says he should have done this because what we know about Myles Garrett from the people who cover him is that he's a very intelligent individual and he does go through the thought process. That's why they found this surprising, is that he's very methodical in how he goes about his business and what he does on a daily basis, right? He does think about how he talks and how he approaches, just because he's just built that way. That's his personality. So when he did this, people found it shocking because they always saw him as a guy that would play things out two or three steps ahead. I got a helmet. If I swing this helmet at this guy, it's going to result in this, this, and this. Even in the heat of the moment, they always felt he was like that. You know, even though he hit Delanie Walker in the face masks and he's had other on-field situations, they were surprised by this because this seemed really extreme for him. So I'm not telling him how he should have done it, but I will say this. It's hard for me to buy it if you didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
When your teammates are kind of going, what are you doing, man? What are you thinking? I mean, Baker Mayfield goes on television to say, this is disappointing. This is really bad for our team. There's no place for this.
I mean, wouldn't you expect? I mean, I'm just trying to rationalize this because I would think if he was coming off the field after he swung a helmet, then he's on the ground getting kicked by Pouncey, that he's walking out the helmet, screaming this out and saying, hey, this is what he said. Can you believe that this guy said this?
Right.
You know, I mean, and then, you know, the whole world would have heard it. Or even in the press conference when he had, or, you know, post-game, he had a chance to say something, and he was just like, no comment.
All right, we'll talk more about this. If you want to hit us up on Twitter with your thoughts on this, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, would love to get your thoughts on this. Not so much a who do you believe, but the overall situation. It's gotten ugly now between Merrill's Garrett and Mason Rudolph. SB Nation AM.
Getting in trouble, lashes and diamonds, ATM machines. Buy myself all of my favorite things.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, we're honoring the Grammys nominees for Song of the Year, Artist of the Year, Record of the Year, all of that.
And Album testing of the our year. Coolness.
And testing our coolness, exactly. Ariana Grande.
Yep.
Is that who this is?
Yep.
People are just rolling their eyes like, oh, of course it's Ariana Grande, you idiot. Who else do you think it's going to be?
I don't know. Maybe our listeners are like, oh, Ariana Grande, like, I've heard of her.
I think I might have heard of her too. Yeah, exactly.
Now, should this song be even nominated?
I have no idea. Yeah, because it's a take on another song.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not an original. I mean, the lyrics are original. It's, yeah. I guess, you know, it's no longer what Dolls and Jump Ropes or whatever. I can't remember.
Exactly.
I can't remember what the favorite things were. Puppy Tears.
It's what the kids like, so there you go.
Now kids like ATM machines, apparently.
Right. Hey, with football and basketball seasons in full swing, get in the game with our exclusive sports betting partners, BetOnline. And you can sign up today to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You can get in on all of the action, every spread, total, winner or loser, straight bets, parlays, teases, and you can even bet wild proposition bets. Get the fastest to market odds, updates, and payouts with our new sportsbook partners, BetOnline. Head over to the website today. Use the mobile device to join. Use promo code SBNation55. Receive your 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, we're talking on the latest on the Miles Garrett, Mason Rudolph situation. Garrett saying in his appeal that Rudolph used a racial slur at him, which is why he snapped, even though he did not win his appeal. But this news came as news to several Browns players who some of them didn't know anything about it until the reporters asked them in an open locker room on Thursday. That's a week after the game.
Yeah. It would make sense on the offensive side of the ball because they weren't there on the sideline. But even then, it's surprising that Miles Garrett didn't say anything to anybody.
With all of the players in that locker room, right? And you make friends, you're really good friends with some, you barely know others, you know, your teammates, but you don't really know much about them. You know, you're just a simple dynamic of a workplace that a good majority of the Browns players had never heard this.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you this question. Does he have friends on the team?
That's, well, I'm assuming he does, but maybe he
would
doesn't.
Too, but maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't have that good buddy that he can confide in.
So, because even if you told one person and said, hey, look, I don't want this to really get out, that would have spread in a locker room.
Oh, yeah.
Locker rooms are good at, you know, there's not a lot, some secrets don't, you know, do get out to the media, but some stay with, you know, within the locker room. Some don't get out. But that would have gotten around the locker room. If Garrett had come in and told one or two people, hey, man, that quarterback, man, he said this, that would have gotten around. And this was, Mayfield was stunned. He only heard it when a reporter asked about it. Odell Beckham was stunned. He didn't see it coming, although did not back down from anything, said, I don't see Miles Garrett would lie about this at all. Jarvis Landry did not hear a thing about this. Safety Demaryius Randall, he hadn't heard anything about this either. So, Miles Garrett kept this really, really, really quiet up until the appeal. Now, he's been sort of praised for this because in the end, when he brought this out, he said, listen, I brought it up in the appeal, but I did not mean it to be public knowledge in the appeal, but that does not justify what I did. But you and I were talking off the air in the break. Don't you think something happened for Garrett to snap like that?
I mean, it can't just be that Mason Rudolph was trying to rip off his helmet. Now, I've seen some photos, which are kind of You know, I mean, you can kind of manipulate a photo, like exact or freeze frames of that incident where, you know, it looked as if Myles Garrett was getting hit in the junk a couple of times.
Right.
I mean, that would set me off.
Sure, that would too.
But, you know, it seemed like he just went crazy. And I can't be from the fact that Myles Garrett failed at ripping off his helmet.
Yeah, that's...
And because it's one thing, like, I can see, you know, I can justify this. Myles, or Mason Rudolph's trying to rip off Myles Garrett's helmet, fail. Myles Garrett, let me show you how it's done. And rips off his helmet. But then, I mean, it seemed like it was starting to calm down, and then something was said, or, you know, there's obviously arguing going on back and forth. Something happened, and then Myles said, I'm going to swing this helmet at you now.
On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's, the milkman tweeting, maybe he was holding back the racial slur reasoning in case Mason was threatening to file a lawsuit. Well, that's not a bad thought.
Yeah.
It could have given him a cause
for
Rudolph to go
after him. Well,
it might
have backfired, though, because he might be filing a lawsuit now.
It's true, yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And we didn't have any of these players mic'd up. No one, like, you know, the little, even the microphone with the big old satellite dish.
Right.
That they always have on the sideline.
NFL says there's no audio of this, which I'm a little surprised by, because you're right. They do have that, what's called, parabolic microphone.
Yeah.
Right?
Where picks up everything.
Picks up everything. So they say there is no audio. Now, they may have it, and they don't want to release it. They don't want to say that.
I'm thinking it's that. I'm thinking they're trying to protect their image now, their shield.
But the NFL did look into it and did their own investigation, so there's no evidence of this whatsoever. But could the damage already be done to Mason Rudolph if he did not say this?
I'm just going to play devil's advocate for you real quick. So they came out quickly and saying there's no evidence of it.
Well,
was that the first time they heard it during the appeal?
That's a great point, right? Well, if I'm hearing it for the first time, you're hearing it for the first time, some Browns players are hearing it for the first time, when did the NFL know about it, and how quickly did they look into this? and how did they look into this? Who'd they call? Did they talk to every single Steeler that was around there and every Browns player that was around there, and then just when I went, okay, that was it. That's all we needed to do.
Yeah, because I mean,
was it told to them early?
It just seemed like a couple hours later. It was like, oh no, we didn't find any evidence. Like, wow, that's the quickest. Can we hire you to go to Washington right now? Because if you can wrap up an investigation that quickly and find no evidence, then go to Washington and solve a whole slew of problems.
Yeah, exactly. So, I wonder, though, does this, because you throw something out like that, and Mason Rudolph, let's say Mason Rudolph did not say this, all right, and I have no idea if he did or not, but let's say he did not say this. This is something that is just going to sit with people no matter what, and you can deny, but there are some people that are just going to say, well, whatever, you know, what, you know, and that's not a reputation you want in this league. But if he did say this, I just can't believe a week later, people are just starting to hear about it. But again,
I mean,
nobody
would understand
to tell Myles Garrett how to act.
I'd understand us just hearing about it.
Right. But the Browns is an organization.
The Browns is an organization. You would think, you know, I mean, there were other Browns in earshot, or even a Steelers player. I mean, maybe they don't want to throw Mason under the bus, but I don't know. I mean, it's almost, I would hate for it to like be, okay, you're subpoenaed, Marcus Pouncey or Maurice Pouncey. You know, just because, I mean, Pouncey was right there. And wouldn't he be offended if the racial slur was used?
Sure, of course. Again, I don't think this is something, I don't think a teammate using a racial slur, I don't think that act over is, the fact that he's your teammate overrides that.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think if you're a player on the Steelers and Mason Rudolph used a racial slur, I don't think you say, well, I can't do anything about it. He's my quarterback. I think you do something about it. I think you say, no, wait a minute. This is, there's a line and you crossed it. I don't care if you're wearing my uniform or not. I don't think this is how this is going to go down. So there is an interesting twist to this story though. And it kind of got attention almost a day or so later. Reporter Josina Anderson tweeted out that she believed that it would be her belief that Myles Garrett heard something in order for him to snap like that. But she took down the tweet because a number of people attacked her credibility as a reporter because she just assumed that that was the case. Basically saying, you know, I know Myles Garrett. He wouldn't have snapped like that unless this. And she took it down and she did apologize for that tweet. She did apologize for that speculating. But now it appears like she was right in that speculation, at least from Miles Garrett's point of view, right? It's one thing to say, I don't know, but he probably heard something racial. Mason Rudolph probably said something racial. And you say, do you have any evidence of that? That's a pretty big accusation to make. She goes, nah, that's my assumption based on the way he reacted. Well, you're labeling the other guy a racist. Do you have any evidence of that? Nah, I don't. And I probably should take down this tweet. Okay. So she takes down the tweet, says, you know, hey, I need to do a better job of that, et cetera. And she's, you know, she made a mistake and she said, even said so. So give her the benefit of the doubt. But on the flip side, then a week later, I'm like, well, Josina Anderson's, you know, assumptions were right, at least according to Miles Garrett. It doesn't mean she's accurate that it actually happened. She's just accurate that Miles Garrett said he heard that and it came through. So that's just another twist to this thing. But again, Cam Hayward is a guy that has been kind of outspoken on this from the standpoint is that Mason Rudolph went right to him to say he didn't do that. And the Steelers are saying the same thing about Mason Rudolph that the Browns players are saying about Miles Garrett. So this is going down team lines, right? The Browns are saying Miles Garrett would not lie about this. And the Steelers players are saying Mason Rudolph would not say this. And Cam Hayward again said he thinks it's a Hail Mary, right? He said that he thinks this is a last ditch effort for an appeal. So Hayward said, I thought it would have been brought up right after. It would have been multiple guys speaking up about it. I don't condone racial slurs ever. Mason dealing with that, he's going to be labeled for it, and that's just not right, and I don't appreciate it. For Mason, I know he's not going to talk about it because he's being villainized here. He said, I'm going to be labeled as that. I think we've just got to own up to our mistakes as men. Move the hell on. For that to be a part of the appeal is stupid to me because it doesn't get you out of what you did. Garrett has to move forward. He's got to own up to his actions. That's Cam Hayward speaking for the Steelers. So this has gone down team line rather than people saying, boy, I'd really like to know what happened. If my quarterback did use a racial slur, I'd like to know what happened. But it's not happening that way. And even on the flip side for the Browns of them saying, hey, look, you know, even though he's a Steeler, even though he's the other team, did he actually say that before we start labeling somebody who didn't say anything as somebody who did? Right? It doesn't seem to be that way.
You know what the next move is going to be, right?
What?
Another player is going to come out and a different organization say, yeah, I've heard Mason use that.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I just have that feeling that it's just going to come down the line, whether it's true or not. Somebody's going to come out and say it.
Yeah. So it's a tough position for Mason Rudolph to be in if he knows in his heart and soul he didn't say that. And I got to preface it. I have no idea. I don't know who to believe.
No, I don't either.
I don't know who to believe. I mean, again, this is not – I mean, we can all sit back and say the NFL did an investigation and they didn't find anything. Well, it doesn't mean it didn't happen. Maybe they just couldn't find anything. Who knows? You know, on the one hand, I agree with you in a way that I think something was said. I don't know if it was racial. But something must have been said. And Garrett goes from pulling off the helmet to completely and utterly snapping and using it as a weapon. But down team lines, you're not going to get the answer to this. You're just not.
Nope.
You have to make. You're just going to have to make your own judgments based on the facts. And the facts are, and again, however you want to perceive Garrett's actions afterwards. And again, I don't want to tell him how to act, but no one on the Browns knew about it for a week. And the only reason some of them knew a racial slur was used is because reporters told them. So I don't know how to process that. All right. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's, if you'd like to hit us up there, or 800-224-2004. So we continue on a Friday, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're doing Grammy-nominated songs and artists. I don't know who this is. I don't know this song. I don't know anything about this.
Well, okay, if I give you a hint, this is from the movie The Lion King.
Beyonce?
There you go.
Okay.
Gotta put the Queen, right?
Sounds like Beyonce. So.
Yeah, but if you play this for me, I wouldn't know either.
This hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You know what movie I absolutely want to see? And I can't wait. It's going to come out on Netflix in a week. The Irishman.
Yes.
Holy cow. I saw another trailer for this.
My God.
I couldn't.
Isn't it like, it's 3 hours long, right?
It's 3 hours long.
Yeah, no, but it's Netflix. So, I mean, this is perfect.
It's perfect. You can pause it, go do something else, come back. Watch it a little later.
But I get the feeling that you're going to pause it, that if you have to pause it, it's because you really have to go.
Yeah, or you have to pause, you got to get something to eat or something.
Refill the popcorn bucket.
This is Martin Scorsese, a three-hour mob movie with De Niro, Pesci, and Al Pacino, with also Ray Romano and Harvey Keitel.
Yeah, I don't know about the Ray Romano part, but you know what? Yeah. You had me with everybody else.
I know.
I did. He's Italian.
There's Jimmy, the story of Jimmy Hoffa in there. I mean, it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
The two trailers I've seen for this movie have blown me out of the water. Well, I can't wait for this movie.
And then just knowing like the background story of how De Niro was able, you know, how Joe Pesci came a part of the film.
Right.
Because Joe Pesci, he's retired.
He's retired, right.
And De Niro literally just went to him and was like, when are we going to be able to make another movie again? And for Pesci, he keeps saying, it's like, it was never about the money to make this movie.
Awesome. My cousin's family, she and her husband, they're members of a country club that Joe Pesci is a member of in New Jersey. And when I heard that, I was like, oh, I haven't seen Joe Pesci in anything. And they say, yeah, he was retired. So when I saw him in this, I went, oh my God, he still has it. He still got it. Like the trailers alone made you go, man, Joe Pesci still can bring it to the big screen. Can't wait for The Irishman.